The success of Downton Abbey has sparked renewed interest in the staff who served the lords and ladies of the big houses throughout the 19th and 20th centuries. Generations of maids, underservants, butlers and kitchen staff all dutifully gave their lives to the aristocratic families and the upper echelons of society until all this began to change after World War I. Many Irish worked in these houses in Ireland and in the UK, and some ended up in very trusted positions of influence. Last week, Brian O'Connell went to Lismore Castle, owned by the Duke and Duchess of Devonshire, and he got an insight into what life is like for one of the few butlers still working in Ireland today. And Brian joins us from Cork. Brian, good morning.
Good morning, Pat.
Will you set the scene for us in Lismore last Friday morning?
Yeah, well, I arrived about 9 a.m, Pat, and they had agreed to allow me shadow Dennis Nevin for the morning and right through to lunchtime. Now, Dennis is the resident butler, and he's been there since the 1970s. The castle is a private house, Pat, and it's owned by the Duke and Duchess of Devonshire, as you said. They've long been, I suppose, one of the wealthiest and most influential families in British history. The Cavendish family, they hold the title, and the current Duke, he's the 12th, and his son William, who I actually met at the castle, he's set to become the 13th. You can visit Lismore Art Gallery on the ground since it's reopened. It's a large 12th century castle. It's hosted everyone, Pat, from Fred Astaire to JFK on their holidays. Anyway, Lord and Lady Burlington were staying last week, and they are the Duke's son and his wife. And when I landed, I spent most of my time in the pantry learning how to clean and how to clear tables properly. And all the butlers, Pat, they wore three-piece suits and they had ties with the Lismore crest on it. I turned up in jeans and a shirt which had been washed a few dozen times too many.
Not exactly butler's livery. Anyway, no. When we think of butlers, we think of someone maybe ironing the morning newspaper or carefully setting the table, making sure that all the pieces of silver are in precisely the right place. That's hardly the case still, is it?
Well, this is actually what surprised me most, is that many of those functions that we might historically associate with butlers, they're still part of their job. So, for example, the large dining table at Lismore is set for breakfast, it's set for lunch, it's then set for afternoon tea, and then dinner, which is usually late, around 8 or 9pm. And it's set in a very particular way, Pat. All the staff are trained in particular styles, and they have different ways, for example, of folding the table linen depending on the setting. And not only that, but in the pantry, the tableware is very, very valuable, and that is handled and it's cleaned meticulously by hand. First up, Pat, we can hear Lismore's butler, Dennis Nevin, and he tells me about his morning.
Breakfast is ongoing now. We have a big group in here. We have a lot of children. We have 12 children in all, two nannies, a nurse, and we have 12 adults staying. We've been on the go here since about 6:30 this morning. Lunches and dinners are we have a set way of doing it. We serve in the old French style, it's called, where we bring platters to the table.
And how did you train in all this then?
Well, I trained with the butler at Chatswood House, and Chatswood House is the home of the Duke and Duchess of Devonshire in Derbyshire, in England. Whilst breakfast was going on, I took the opportunity to polish a few of those glasses for breakfast. We'll give you a chance at it now shortly.
I don't like the sound of this, Dennis.
So, we polish the glasses and make sure, you know, there aren't any smudges or anything like that.
So it is kind of like in, you know, people talk about Downton Abbey, but in Downton Abbey, when the family were away, when things were quiet in the house, you do the other jobs.
Exactly, yes, yeah. And there are plenty of jobs to be done in a house of this size, you could imagine, you know.
I don't see a dishwasher anywhere.
No, we don't use a dishwasher up at this end of the house, simply because of the quality of the delf and that. See, so we wash it in this wooden sink here. This wooden sink is here since 1840.
A wooden sink since 1840. Now, Dennis sounds like a very calm person, as he said himself, he trained in Chatsworth House. He actually lives in the castle now, does he, himself?
That's right. Himself and his family moved into one of the wings about 3 years ago, and he was saying it just made sense so that they could be closer to the main house. He was literally unflappable all morning, Pat. I mean, we'd be polishing a piece of silver and someone from downstairs in the kitchen would come up through the pantry and say there was a very strong smell of gas. And Dennis would very calmly walk down the steps of the kitchen, sort it out. And between, you know, those jobs, he was checking emails, facilitating the rental of the castle at times when the family are not there. I asked Dennis, what are the characteristics someone would need in order to be a modern-day butler?
Well, I think a lot of it has to do with temperament, you know, just sort of to accept the fact that, you know, the work has to be done, and to sort of understand that the people that we're waiting on and serving really are, you know, the people who are most important. That's the way I see it anyway. Yeah, well, some of my friends, you know, my own age group and that, I didn't say I'm training to be a butler. I said I'm working in bar work down inside in the castle, you know. When I came here first, we'd be assigned so many gentlemen. So if there was about 20 gentlemen staying here, I would be assigned three of those, say, and I would have to look after his room, their rooms, I should say, and all of their clothes, and, you know, make sure that their suits and that were ironed up, and that their shoes were polished, and their clothes were laid out for the following morning, and all of that, you know, we used to do way back. Nowadays, we don't. There is a laundry service here, and so the housekeepers pick up the clothes and bring them back to the laundry room. They're returned again the following day. A lot of people bring runners now with them, so you don't have too much polishing to do. If there are shoes and that lying around that need a bit of buffering up, we look after that, right? Those, you know, requests are sort of few and far between now.
And I know I keep referring back to Downton Abbey, but the relationship that the head butler, Carson, in that programme has with the lord of the house is a very special relationship. He's almost like he's confident. And would you enjoy that kind of a similar relationship?
Well, the Duke, yeah, and his son, Lord Burlington, yeah, they would confide in me. But they're fairly open anyway. Maybe they'd confide with the other members of the staff as well, you know. You know, we know how to keep a secret. Let's put it that way.
Now, Brian, you mentioned that you had to roll up your own sleeves. What did they have you do?
Well, the crockery and tableware all has to be washed by hand, as we said, and it's too valuable to put through a dishwasher. So we got down a few teapots from the shelf and got stuck into cleaning it. Now, all these would have been cleaned before the family arrived, but once the family were present, Pat, and had finished breakfast, I helped clear off the tables and I set up the dining room for lunch. I mean, there can't be too many dining rooms in Ireland which have two Van Dykes looking down over the table. And I met with Lord and Lady Burlington, very, very nice people, very open, down to earth. And when they're in Lismore, they are very involved and respected locally, really. I chatted to a few locals. So Lady Burlington, she was showing me some of the interior design skills that Dennis had done in the private quarters. And she was saying, you know, that he was invaluable to the house, really. And anyway, here is Dennis, Pat, trying to get me to earn my butler stripes.
So, OK, let's get a couple of pieces out here for you, Brian. I think this teapot and coffee pot could do with a touch. I'll start this one off for you. Just dampen that sponge. And then it's a matter of vigorously rubbing it on like this.
I mean, you could spend your life polishing the amount of silver that's under press, couldn't you?
You could. But when it's in use, you know, on a daily basis, eggs are the scourge of silver. I don't know if you ever noticed the forks that come out that have particularly a soft fried egg.
And is it the case that when the Duke and his family are here that they wouldn't really be in the kitchen or in the pantry areas?
Oh, they would indeed, yeah, Brian. Of course they do, yeah. They'd come into the pantry quite a lot, and they go down to see the cooks in the kitchen, plan out menus and that.
Okay, so it's not like there aren't. It's not as segregated as such.
Oh, not at all. No. Nothing like that anymore, Brian.
But when you were starting off in the 70s, can you remember that? Was there more of a deferential attitude?
Well, there was. Yes, yeah. The Duchess, Deborah Mitford. She always came to see us in the pantry.
Mention made there of the connection between the Duke of Devonshire's family and the Mitfords, the remaining Mitford sister Deborah having married into the Cavendish family, and she was the one who went to visit, if you like, below stairs. Mm-hmm. The Mitfords were famous sisters. They were major celebrities at the time, and some became celebrated authors. But you actually managed to make a connection directly back to one of the most controversial Mitfords of all.
Yeah, it just came about by chance, Pat. I was asking Dennis if he knew any other butlers who might have retired, and he casually mentioned that around the corner on the main street in Lismore was a man called Gerry Lehan. Now, Jerry lived with and worked for Diana Mitford, who later became Lady Diana Moseley, after she married the very controversial British fascist leader Sir Oswald Moseley. Jerry had to get his car NCT'd in Yall, so I drove after him and we pulled in outside the NCT Centre and we chatted about his life as a butler. He told me about meeting Diana Mitford for the first time, and he had been on leave in Fermoy from the army, and he saw a job advertised as a butler and chauffeur, and he applied and got it, and he worked for them for 43 years.
She was stunning, you know, looking. In the beginning, you were a little bit wondering if everything was going to be okay and if you weren't going to, you know, to spill the soup over one of the guests or something.
And you must have developed a very close attachment, particularly to Lady Moseley.
Oh, yes. Well, Lady Moseley, every time she wrote a book, she'd give me a signed copy, and he did the same. You know, people used to come to stay. The Duchess of Devonshire used to come, Mrs. Jackson, the other sister. I think with those sisters, a lot of people were jealous of, you know, their talent, their beauty, their, you know, popularity and everything.
It must have been heartbreaking the day she died.
Yeah. I didn't want to see her die, actually, you know. When you're with somebody for 43 years, and I could see, you know, that she was getting old in a way. I went to her funeral, yes, but I didn't want to go back to see her die.
The life of a butler today, people are interested in Downton Abbey and they see this old...
Yeah.
Did you watch Downton Abbey?
Downton Abbey.
Did you watch it?
So I do watch it, yeah. Sometimes I do watch it, yes.
So is it realistic? Is it like the life
it's
you live?
Interesting. Well, that would be much more elaborate than, you know, what I would be doing. You do the same things, but in a different style. People don't even keep butlers now. You know, it's a kind of a dying thing, isn't it?
It certainly is. And Jerry talking about the Mitfords there, and Diana Mitford's husband. He was, as I mentioned, Sir Oswald Moseley, who was the founder of the British Union of Fascists. He and Diana were interned during the war because of their fascist beliefs, and they were shunned afterwards. They moved to Ireland first, then to France. And you asked Jerry what Sir Oswald Moseley was like as a person.
A very nice man. People wronged him in a way. I mean, he had his own ideas about Europe, and he always, you know, would never change his mind about that. And Lady Moseley was so loyal to him in his outlook, and a lot of his policies have come true. He was a genius, actually. Churchill hated him because Churchill thought he was the cleverest man. Churchill himself thought he was the cleverest man in England. But Sir Oswald Moseley could put him under the table, you know. There was never arguments, there was never, you know, disputes of any kind. And Lady Moseley, like, she changed, I suppose, after he died. She was very, very sad and all that. I've never heard him raise his voice or Lady Moseley to one another, which is a rare thing, isn't it?
You must miss the life, though, do you? I know you probably have a good life in Lismore now, but it's a quieter life, I'd imagine, to what you have.
Yeah, I miss the travelling, yeah. And I miss all these people that I knew. They're all gone. And you know, you talk about dreaming. I dream an awful lot about... A lot of times I am back with Lady Moseley in my dreams. In the garden in France. And we're talking like in the past. And I feel that's nice, you know.
It's a great dream to have, I'd imagine.
Oh, yeah. Nice, lovely memories. Nice memories are, they're priceless, actually.
You can still hear the affection in Jerry's voice, Pat. And I think, like Dennis said earlier, discretion and loyalty are attributes any butler would need. And I think they come true there as well. He's 83 years old now, Jerry, and he still hears from the family. And he'd received an invitation to Lismore Castle on the day I met him to the latest exhibition at the Art Gallery.
Well, finally, Brian, on your way back from Lismore, you called to see one other person, Patty Butler. She was one of the last domestic servants who worked in Fota House. That's, of course, open to the public now. Her father was set against her working at Fota House, and also she had an interesting take on the type of hierarchy that used to exist at Fota.
Yeah, well, Patty's very interesting because obviously, Pat, the ending of the Troubles in Northern Ireland has meant that I suppose we're beginning to appreciate some aspects of our Anglo-Irish past. And both Dennis and Jerry had told me that they didn't tell people about what they were working at initially. But over the years, that has changed. Now, Patty worked for Mrs. Bell, who was the last resident owner of Fota House. And she told me about her time working there from 1947 onwards as an in-between maid, as she describes it.
I could go upstairs and be a housemaid, and I could also serve my time in the dining room to wait on table. The higher servants were English and Protestant, and they had been with Mrs. Bell before she bought Fota House and came back to Ireland from England. The under servants were Catholic and Irish. The upper servants had their meals in a different room, in the housekeeper's room.
Tell me about the attitude of people then when you said you were working in Fota House. Sometimes in Ireland we can have a kind of a funny relationship with these big houses.
Oh yes, they wouldn't like it. They didn't like it. My father wouldn't like it at all. He wouldn't work for Mrs. Bell or work inside the gate. He wouldn't work there. And even though his brother worked there and two brothers of his worked there, he wouldn't. He was in the old IRA, so he wouldn't work for them.
And that's Patty Butler there talking about the attitudes that prevailed at the time, her own father disapproving of her job. Things obviously have changed dramatically.
Yeah, they have. And, you know, the notion of staff now in these big houses and the jobs and tasks they have to do, they have changed hugely. As I said, you know, Dennis did everything from fixing the oven, answering emails, sorting out the Wi-Fi, to shining silver and setting tables. An amazing man, really. And they're a lot more open now, I think, to public interaction.
Yeah, well, it is obviously a job with proper pay and conditions. And, you know, it's not like it was in the old days where if you were fired from the big house, that could be the end of you.
That could be the end. And Patty was telling me about, I was asking her what her working hours were like. She said she got one half day off every 2 weeks, and a half day would be from, say, 2 or 3 p.m. in the afternoon onwards. Some days they were working. I mean, Dennis, the day I called, had been up at 6:30 that morning, was working until 10 or 11. So there is a sort of a vocational aspect to it. But, I mean, for Dennis, he loves it, and it's perfectly suited. If anyone was perfectly suited to their role, it's him, really.
An amazing man. Well, just to say, Lismore Castle Gardens are open every day until September from 10:30 until 5:30, and a new exhibition, Monuments, curated by Mark Sladen, opens at the Art Gallery there on April the 20th. Brian, thank you very much for that wonderful report from Cork.
Thanks, Patrick.